Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
12.7 to go. Mavericks have to get across half court, and our business here will be concluded. And the Celtics will drop back to 500 through 20 games. So many surprise teams, particularly in the Western Conference, in the NBA, which means there are some teams that have not performed up to expectations, and the Celtics are near or at the top of that list. Beaten here in Dallas, the Celtics again drop back to 500. The final score, Dallas 113, Boston 104.
And they're in New Orleans tonight. They lose. They're below 500, 21 games into the season. At what point do you say that's what they are? At what point do you say that? Again, I keep going to Gary Washburn in the Globe, who says they're going to be a fourth or fifth. They're going to fight to be a fourth or fifth seed all season long. That's what they are. Season's now about 25% over, and average is what they are and may be this season. They would now have to go 40-22 the rest of the way just to get 50 wins. They will be fighting for a fourth or fifth seed the rest of the season. It's no longer early.
I mean, the way Brad Stevens was talking after the loss against the Knicks on Wednesday, it's almost like he's already waved the white flag. Like, maybe this is what we are. Like, that was stunning to me. His press conference on Wednesday night was like, wow. And he's been saying this since the preseason, so maybe he's known all along. They're not that great.
Give me a sample, Jimmy.
I just don't know that we're that good, Gary. Maybe it's not a wake-up call if you keep getting beat. We have to play better. And it's not because we're not capable of being good. It's not because we weren't good at one time in our lives. It's you're good if you play good. I mean, the results are speaking for themselves.
So how'd you get that, Murray, that he's throwing up his hands and giving up on the team? Is that his way of yelling at him? Because he's not a big yeller and screamer.
He's not a yeller and screamer. I just think that he's not going to see the toughness and fight out of this group like he wishes is there. Like, I don't know if yelling and screaming is going to do it unless they make a move or get rid of Rozier or whoever they look at as the problem there. But I mean, there's a real problem.
I mean,
how many slow starts can they have? Even in games that they win. The first quarter, they're down 10, sometimes 20 points, it seems like.
Absolutely. Every game, they're down.
It's like they dread the game starting. I mean, seriously, to me, the issues are all internal. And call them whatever you want, chemistry issues, egos, whatever. To me, that's at the core of it. They don't play together.
On Saturday, again,
they don't play together.
Another guy I've like never heard of, because who's really paid attention to Dallas Mavericks basketball? This Dorian Finney, whatever the hell his name is, he's running down and back and forth on the back and forth on the floor, making rebound after rebound. Meanwhile, it's all shrugged shoulders and I don't know. Here we are again, second of a back to back. Lack of effort all around. Like it's not a cohesive unit. It's like they don't even want to be there.
So this is where I do go to Kyrie a little bit, Maz. Because
sure.
You're supposed to.
I'm not going to defend Kyrie in the locker room.
You're supposed to assume the identity of your best player. I don't really know what his is, other than the dude's kind of insufferable to listen to. He is. He's insufferable. As I've said before, a duct tape or a ball gag or something. Just zip it for a little bit, pal. I mean, that the interview we read last week with Krzyzewski, where he said, "I didn't want to dim down how special I am or how special I can be. Just, trying to get other guys going, and then I can worry about myself. I had to dim down my offensive repertoire to get other people's going, but other people going, I don't need to dim down how special I am or I can be." Like, oh my God, just please zip it. Zip it, dude. And never mind the flat earth thing, which I guess is harmless, but like it's just sort of like part and parcel, and then go F yourself Thanksgiving. Like, this guy. Like, geez, he's a little weird or something. He's insufferable. But
he's also a soft player. player, instead of going hard to the basket, he leans back because he wants to do some dipsy-do, dunkaroo, soft, off the backboard. He doesn't go in hard. He hates taking free throws after contact. Ooh. Name me the last time he went hard to the basket and took contact to the floor. That's your best player. He's soft.
He's great going to the rim.
He is. See, I don't have an issue with him on that.
Special. And I don't mind. I mean, the way he spins the ball and all, like.
He's an artist.
Yeah, but he is. He is
be
an artist.
Be tougher.
Okay, but that's not my issue. Like, what, he's supposed to go in there and get hammered, get concussed on every other. I don't mind that. And I can even accept the defense. I'm talking about the
leadership,
the personality of the team. You know, when you're the best player, you're largely responsible for that. And so what the hell? What is that? You know, again, the Midday Show has been working on these great conspiracy theories about him and Marcus Smart having a problem. And, you know, Kyrie said after that loss in Portland, after that first West Coast trip, we need a 15-year veteran. Then he listed a bunch of guys the next night and left out Marcus Smart. So he thought it was Marcus Smart. Jimmy told us early on, and Beto was saying this today as well, that he wonders, is it someone else? Is it a Horford thing? What's Kyrie's problem with Al Horford? So it's Kyrie and Al Horford now?
So that's what I think. I think it's Horford. I think that Kyrie, you know, looks at Horford and says, you've been around longer than everybody. Straighten everybody out, because he doesn't want to do it. Kyrie doesn't want to be the bad guy. And so it worked with Al before because, you know, Kyrie was a newcomer here and, you know, there was a hierarchy set. But now Kyrie wants the team. This is Kyrie. See, Kyrie wants the good parts of the job. He doesn't want the bad parts. So he wanted to leave LeBron's shadow, and he wanted his own team, and he wanted to be the man. But now when the team's playing badly, he doesn't want the responsibility of that. So, like, I look at that and say, absolutely, you're not going to hear me defend Kyrie's leadership. There's a problem there. They don't have a leader. They don't have one. And in that league, you need one. It's going to be a clear hierarchy. And this is where I disagree with Ainge and Stevens, and I don't know which one of them is trying to perpetuate the belief. But the idea that you can have, you know, nine guys and just plug them all in and rotate and they're all the same, it doesn't work.
It's not that league.
It doesn't work in that league. And so someone needs to take control of the team. And I think ultimately it's going to end up being Stevens by default. I just say he's never encountered this, though. He's not there yet.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Pete in Delaware, who do you blame?
Guys, I blame Brad Stevens. I listened to that press conference after the Knicks game, and that is a coach who has no confidence in himself and has no idea what to do. He's an X and O's guy. He's great at it. But, guys, right now he is poorly managing personalities, and he has no idea what to do. After that press conference, I have no confidence they're going to turn it around.
Okay, so I think his strength is that he's so even-keeled, and he doesn't challenge these guys' egos, right? They don't have to worry about Stevens' ego because he feels like he manages egoless. But does the team need a heavier hand right now?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it feels that way. So I keep waiting for it. Look, Smart's got the force of personality to do it.
No question.
So the question is whether he has, you know, is a guy like Kyrie going to look at Smart and go, shut the hell up? I mean, really, shut the hell up.
And Kyrie, I mean, Smart has said some things. Hold on. Nana dropped his readers there, Murray.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. You got the you have the Marcus Smart cut. Go ahead.
Just lack of effort, lack of fear. Like, we don't impose our fear and will on other teams. Last year, teams used to, when they came in and they played the Celtics, you know, they knew they were in for a fight. This year, teams, you know, they can't wait to play us, you know, and that's a problem. When, like I said before, when guys aren't scared of you anymore, you know, and there's nothing you can do about that. We got to change it. You know, we got to come out and be the first ones to hit guys in the mouth. We got to get that swagger back.
Okay. This year, teams can't wait to play us. So he's not afraid to say it and call it out, right?
But nobody's responding.
Why?
I think it's just got to do with sort of...
He's not good enough?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. And again, it's one thing when you're all sort of in the same boat. But do you think Kyrie Irving looks at Marcus Smart and takes him seriously? Because I don't.
Probably not, no.
I don't. Al Horford might have, because he's not the player that Kyrie is. I'm not sure Jason Tatum looks at Marcus Smart and takes him seriously.
Says you're not good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what it is.
So, like, again, I keep thinking maybe Marcus Morris is the guy. Like, because, you know, but I wonder. I don't know, because Morris feels to me like a badass. And maybe he could be kind of what James Posey was back in, you know, 07, 08 in that area. I don't know. But somebody's got to take control of the team because it feels to me like nobody's getting through to any of them. And this was apparent in the preseason, by the way.
And Stevens called it out.
And Jaylen Brown blew him off. He blew him off. The coach said, you know, we got to start playing harder. And Brown, ha! Preseason, he all but kissed him off in the preseason, and it hasn't changed.
We've got David in the car. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Celtics' issue with tough is not necessarily their toughness. It's the fact that it's tough for them to make a basket. If you look at all the nerdy shooting statistics, the Celtics are at the bottom of the league, whereas our Milwaukee Bucks are at the top of the league. The Raptors also at the top of the league. It's a make-miss league, and the Celtics are a bunch of bricklayers. And Jaylen Brown is actually worse than Marcus Smart at this point. So they just have to take better shots and start making shots and keeping guys on the bench who can't make them.
Mass, they have enough good shooters?
Yeah, to play better than they're playing now, yeah.
Absolutely they do.
Yeah.
I don't know if they, you know, I don't. I
they're not Golden State.
Of course,
who is?
Right. I'm not going to say they are.
No, but they're better. They should be shooting the ball better than they are.
They're an elite. They have a handful of elite shooters.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And Hayward should be one. Tatum is one. Irving is one. I mean, stop there. I mean, again, I think Al Horford, usually out there at the top of the key, he's got a tremendous range out there.
So Horford's hurting them on the floor because, and you know, to me, Horford's not shooting the ball well. He's not. And early in the year, it felt to me like he was automatic out top there, and that's his spot. Now he's missing a lot. I even think Morris is a pretty good shooter.
Excellent.
You know, so like I look at it and say they got the players to shoot. To me, they don't play together. They're not playing together. It's really that simple.
We continue with your thoughts. Patriots, Bruins, and Celtics on a re-entry Monday here on Felger and Maz. Free wrestling tickets coming up later this hour as well, so stay tuned for that.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Noah Vonleh against Al Horford. Holding at the three-point line. Hand to Burke. Burke one dribble. Falling away. Banks it. And it falls in for him. A dream night for Trey Burke. Falling to his left. He banked it in. Celtics down 6. 45 seconds to go.
This guy's made every right play off those screens. It was really good. And then the two Knox threes where, you know, we just didn't get into their airspace enough to make them feel us. And at the same time, they've got to knock those in. And so that's a hats off to them for that. As far as, like, coming back and winning, not winning, it would have been a shame for the Celtics to win that game. Knicks deserved to win. And, you know, we gave ourselves a chance, but that's all it was.
What was that last line?
It would have been a shame for the Celtics to win that game. That was another one that was like, wow.
Cool. good one, Brad.
And he was right. They really didn't try until the fourth quarter. They just showed up. Oh, it's the Knicks we're playing tonight. Eh, we'll be able to get by on talent alone, will you? No.
They really do. They half-ass it a lot. They do. They half-ass it a lot. I mean, because when you see them turn it up for those little bursts, you say, where's this been? And they're playing like a team. They're playing like Golden State, like a team that's already got titles under its belt. Yeah, I mean, we got three of them. What are you guys talking about? We're good. We'll play when it's time to play. This team's got a major attitude and ego problem.
And, you know,
major.
Not that we're on everything, but we were on this. The tonality coming out of that team in the offseason, when Jaylen Brown, and not with the interview with the gal with the...
Taylor Rooks.
Body.
I was going to say the journalistic chops. You are, seriously.
Well, you might as well get right to the point.
No, I was going to say with the strong line of questioning. I'm not talking about Jaylen Brown with the gal. I'm talking about the one that we mentioned earlier.
The one with the body.
Where he was going on about you know, us, you know, the team. It was so obnoxious. I can't remember exactly how he said it. But I said at the time, it's like he acted like they had beaten the Cavaliers.
Yes, yeah, that one, again, goes way back in the offseason.
Basically, we showed everybody last year
what
we are.
Yep.
No, you didn't. You lost. You choked. You lost in Game 7. You were up double digits. Game 7 at home, you lost. You choked. You didn't show anybody anything. But the way they carried themselves, like they had won last year, like they had actually beaten the Cavs. And, boy, to actually then see it play out on the floor is surprising, because usually... our bull crap sort of ends when they hit the field and then it's a different thing. No. All their bull crap and all the things we read into have carried over directly onto the floor. They carry themselves like a team that's done something.
You know what they're acting like now? Like Philly did last postseason. Like that's what they feel like to me. Like this collection of
the Sixers,
high picks,
yeah.
Right? Like the you know, Phillies get Embiid and Simmons and all this pedigree of high picks. And then they get out on the floor and they half-ass it. And they don't play right. And that's what this feels like now. They feel like Philly. They feel like the Sixers.
Ugh. Dan in Plymouth, your thoughts for us.
Hi, how's it going? A little while ago, you said that we couldn't have an Anthony Davis and a Kyrie Irving contract at the same time. My feeling on that is, have you looked at where all the contracts line up?
No, well, right. You can after Kyrie's deal expires, right?
Why only after Kyrie's deal expires?
It's called the Derrick Rose rule. Just please trust me. It's written. Just Google it. Derrick Rose rule. Al Horford. Just Google Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Derrick Rose rule. It'll come right up.
Okay. On another, do you think that Danny's scared to trade Al Horford if it came to that?
No. God, no.
You don't think that it would look terrible after bringing in future free agents? Trade Al Horford after bringing him in?
I think it would look bad if they traded Hayward now. And I think they're conscious of that. And that's why I think Hayward is protected right now. Horford, he's been here 3 years. He signed a 4-year deal. So he gets to, you know, 3/4 of his deal and they trade him with he got a year to go or something like that. No, I think people would say, well, that's business. If you sign someone as a free agent, wine him, dine him, sell him on your program, you're the next guy, all this, breaks his ankle 5 minutes into his first year and then you trade him during his second. Look, I mean, Danny would want to do it, but I think that they would probably stop there and say that's a bad look for the next free agent. That's a bad look.
They would move Horford, though.
But Horford is now on the table. They wouldn't after year one. I mean, I just think, I mean, who wants to do that? Especially when the guy comes in and fulfills everything that you ask him. It's like he came in and was a bum. You know, he comes in and fulfills everything you wanted from the guy on the floor, off the floor, handle himself with class, and, you know, really, he's been a good Celtic. Like, no, they wouldn't do that after a short period of time, but after a while, yes. So,
I mean, he's been, you know, he's been around long enough where you could say that they both got what they wanted out of the deal, you know. So, but they would move Horford. I don't know. They're not giving up on Hayward yet, but they would move Horford, I think.
Joe in Lincoln with the Patriots thought. Hi, Joe. What do you got for us?
Yeah, if there's time, let me see. Talk about the Celtics too. But I thought that Tom Brady really did not have a great game. I thought he was really mediocre. They made plenty of passes, a couple to Gronk when he was double covered that could have easily been intercepted, and some of his little passes in the flat didn't have any zip to him. He really did not have a great game. He wasn't bad, but he was mediocre. If his name wasn't Tom Brady, and we looked at it objectively, we would have said he had a mediocre performance.
Joe, we'll pick it up from there. Thanks for the call. Assess Brady's day yesterday.
I don't think he's wrong. I didn't think Brady was great. I'm trying to remember the ball to Gordon late in the game on the third down. Was that ball tipped?
Third and 10? I don't know.
No, there was one that was tipped that was over the middle like a slant, and it was a little behind Gordon. He still made the catch. The one that was in the dirt, it was in the dirt. It was a bad throw.
Okay, so that was my right. I knew there was a tipped ball there to Gordon. I couldn't remember which one it was. So the one on the outside was not a good throw. There were a couple throws, I thought, to Gronk that weren't great balls. He made one throw in the game that I remember my eyes popped out of my head and went, wow, that is a great throw.
The touchdown to Gronk.
Well, that one, and there was one to Edelman on the sideline. That was an absolute freaking dime of a throw. It was awesome. He nailed it. It was a great throw. But there haven't been a lot of those this year.
Oh, I thought his touchdown to Gronkowski was vintage. Stood in there, took a shot, set his feet. Put it only where, you know, I thought that was a spectacular play from those two. And I guess what's in my head was Brady the last game where I felt he was all over the place in Tennessee. His feet weren't set. He was bailing out of stuff. I thought he hung in there better in this game. I thought he set his feet better in this game. I thought he delivered that sort of low liner over the middle much better in this game, whether it was to Edelman or Hogan even got a couple. I thought he was better in this game. I think if you're asking me to judge him this year over last year, I think he'll still think he's back a step. You know, he's taken a half step back. But I thought he was better in this ball game.
Oh, he was better in this than Tennessee. But in Tennessee, he was garbage.
Yes, he was.
I mean, he was. He was dog crap in that game.
Reentry Monday continues. Tim in Westford has a thought for us on the Bruins. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry, I don't know if you guys is too far off topic now, but one of you made the point earlier of splitting games between Tuca and Halak, and I think that's a decent idea. Considering if we were both paying them the same amount of money, but the idiot that decided to pay Tuca the same amount as Carey Price and Jonathan Quick and everybody else, he gives him a huge contract and he plays like a backup goalie. If he's not a backup goalie, he shouldn't be getting paid that much.
So Tim, you think you should jeopardize the play of your team based on the salary of the goalie?
Oh no, definitely not. I'm saying as far as like the whole, I think it's just still good to be splitting them right now. I don't doubt that. But the whole thing on Tuca is that we're paying him to be a number one goalie and be playing as many games as the other number one goalies and be like the backbone of this team versus a lot of everyone else.
No, I understand. Tim, I understand that, yeah. But you know what? That's not Rask. He's a 55-game goalie. He's not an everyday guy.
All I'm saying is you're at a point now where you got to maximize it. So if that means you split them, you split them. Look at it as an aggregate. You're paying $10 million to your goalies. So get the most you can out of them.
And I'll tell you what, I think they have to manage Halak too. Like if their backup was a 23-year-old kid that they had drafted and developed and felt like the next big thing, I'd say screw it. You know, Rask, I don't care if you figured out your personal problems or not. You're sitting. I don't care what you make. We're going to ride the kid and we're going to, you know, ride him and, you know. But Halak at 33, he's someone that you'll get diminishing returns from as well the more you ride him. So I'm managing Halak as much as I am Rask.
So what I would say to the caller is, like, I look at it and say, is Rask overpaid? Yes.
Of course.
But you're stuck with that one now. I mean, what are you going to do? Keep playing him so you can justify the salary and then he sucks? Like, that doesn't do you any good. So whatever it is, you got to think of it as an aggregate now. You're paying $10 million to your goalies. Goalies, plural. Get whatever you can out of them. Find whatever formula you need to find to maximize their play.
I'm just telling you, the Bees tonight, if they can pull one out in Toronto, that is, you looked at that slate with Chara and Bergeron out, never mind McAvoy or Carlo or all these other guys they've got out, and you looked at that slate, you looked at Pittsburgh and at Montreal, and Rask gets the call in Montreal, and that's not always been his best place. He's improved in the last couple of years. But for his career, that's been a really lousy spot for him. He goes in there, pulls out the... If they get out of this with points again tonight, like, that's a hell of a little run there by that team with
Absolutely.
All those guys out. And I do. I go back to the coach on that. Bruce's coaching his little boobies off, as I said before, Maz. Deserves a lot of credit.
Might be big boobs for all I know.
We continue with your calls. More of your Patriots thoughts right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down 7-0 with Gordon split right. Three receivers left, including Gronkowski. Four-man rushes. Brady takes the snap. Late pressure, a throw. Down the middle for Gronk. Open. Lunges. Makes the catch. Absorbs the contact. And falls in the end zone for a touchdown. Patriots.
It's a way to get the big boy back. And Brady, in the teeth of a blitz, he hangs in there. And it's reminiscent of Denver years ago, where he just waits and waits on the tight end to clear, and it's Gronkowski finally going vertical. Look at him. That's what he needs to get the confidence going, man. Man, he's feeling it, and Brady took a shot right in the teeth.
I thought that was a great play by both guys. Obviously, tremendous catch by Gronkowski in traffic, old school. I thought Brady did a great job standing right in there, got clocked. Footwork was solid. You know, he wasn't bailing out like he was in Tennessee. Hung right in there, delivered it. I thought, especially for Gronkowski, because the series before, he took that hard shot on the sidelines where Brady, I think, was a little late with the ball on the sidelines.
He was late.
And Gronkowski had it, and then just a real hard play on him. Was that Adams that hit him on the sidelines, too?
That guy can play.
He's pretty good. So Gronkowski took a real hard shot there. It's like anytime Gronkowski takes any kind of those shots, you're like, uh-oh, here we go. But he comes back, and so that whole sequence, never mind the fact that the Jets were off the field on the play before if they had just declined the penalty.
Idiots.
That's amazing.
My God. So on 3rd-and-2, the Patriots run a little rub route, a little pick that I thought was a ticky-tack call, but either way, you got it on James White. So the Jets could have declined, could have been 4th-and-2. What yard line were they at? Do you have the play sheet in front of you?
Yeah, well, it was right around the 33, I think. I'll double check.
So you're talking about a 50-yard field goal.
Or they still could have went for it in theory on 4th-and-2.
Okay,
maybe.
So you're putting them in a 4th-down situation.
Yeah.
Or they're lining up to kick a 50-yard field goal at the Meadowlands. Not that easy. Instead, they take the penalty and give Brady another shot?
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, my God, you knew that was coming.
It was actually the 24.
Okay, so it would have been an easier field goal. Either way, I concede the 3. I don't give Brady another shot. What are you doing? Idiots.
It's like Todd Bowles wants to be fired at this point.
Oh, my God, I couldn't believe that. But I thought all those things, you know, Gronkowski bouncing back from the heavy shot the series before, Brady standing in and taking the shot on that play, delivering that ball in that situation after Bowles screws up on the penalty call, like all that little sequence there felt very, very Patriot-like.
Yeah.
It's been a while, huh?
Now, if you're asking me, overall, they don't feel like the same operation to
me. And I'm with you, and a lot of it has to do with Gronk's inability to get separation in the end zone. What was that? We were talking about this in the postgame, Beadle and I, yesterday. What was that thing from Lombardi a while back that Rob Gronkowski was a builder of speed?
Now? Yes, right, yes.
So, okay, so when he can get those seam routes and he's open on those, he's a builder of speed. He's built up to that, and he's still dominant in that situation.
Oh, I think it's way true. Yeah,
but in the end zone, he can't get free of anybody.
That's true.
We'll have Bedard on tomorrow. Bedard, you know, looks at the tapes and the coverages. He's not even getting any special attention. They covered him yesterday with linebackers and safeties. They didn't even divert any attention away from other guys. So that little thing about Lombardi's thing about him losing quickness and, you know, that sort of short zone stuff getting open, I think it's true.
No, it feels like it's true. Again, in that corner fade that they were throwing with Adams down.
Okay, now that can kiss the inside of my ass.
Oh, God, I hate that too. But you know what? Gronk usually wins, though.
But he doesn't have the ump anymore.
No. Well, those are on Brady. But even so, like, he wasn't getting away from the defender there at all. Or going above. I mean, he had to break up the one down there in the corner. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right. Yes, so interception.
Yeah, so I don't know. It just feels like to me he's not the same guy down there either, though. He's not.
So the red zone still sucks, you know, 1-for-3.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Totally. After they get that 4th-and-1, they're at the 9-yard line, so it's 1st-and-goal at the 9, and it's 3 straight terrible pass plays. Like, and at that point, and mock me if you want, you had success running the ball, and even if Michelle goes out, try it again. Try it with James White, okay, someone else.
So Michelle, for whatever he was able to break off yesterday, he's still a poor short down and distance runner. It just, or they don't block it or something. I mean, it just doesn't work. Short yardage to Michelle does not feel like it works. And then when you hand it to the other guy, he ends up basically sexually abusing somebody down by the goal line. Okay, so like that's an issue, the short yardage stuff.
He could call for groping.
Oh, my God.
I like how he leapt for the goal line about 10 yards behind the line of
and got drilled.
Yeah, it was great.
Great feel for the goal line there.
Good pad level there, yeah. Too, Cordarrelle Patterson. It was great.
Oh, and then the undercarriage service there. Yeah. Wow. You hear what he said after the game, the right? Do you have it, Jimmy?
Can you tell me what happened on that fight?
Got tackled. That man was all in my face trying to put his in my face, and I was trying to get his ass up off me. Simple as that.
And you don't want that in your face?
Nah, I'm a grown man. I don't need nobody assing and balls in my face, man. It's disrespectful.
Not a big fan of him, but that's a great line. That's a man that does not ever want to be accused of being a meat gazer.
There were two all-time great quotes from the weekend. The first being, F Thanksgiving. Because I've never heard that one before. Go F yourself, Thanksgiving. You can F off with that. You and your Thanksgiving. And then the Cordarrelle.
Nah, I'm a grown man. I don't need nobody assing and balls in my face, man. It's disrespectful.
He did. He was down there. He had himself a fistful of nuts. Like, seriously, man. Like, he was sitting at the bar snacking.
Are these fresh?
And the best part is he didn't even score.
And he leapt about 5 yards early.
Totally.
No sense of where he was down there.
He sucks.
He blows. He sucks and blows. Oh, my God. And he can run straight up. Great picture on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. I suppose we're allowed to run it, but that is... How you doing? That is right there.
Yeah, bartender, I'll have a vodka soda. Could you pass the nuts?
That had to have hurt so bad. That's a good grip.
Look, he practically gave the guy a wedgie, for crying out loud. Look at that.
Well, we found the one thing that he's very proficient at so far. The occasional run, the trick play.
Yeah, I'll have a Bud Light and some beer nuts. Yeah, give me a fistful of those, will you? Pass them over. Brilliant. And he did. He got absolutely freaking popped when he stepped over, too. That was great.
All right, so anyway, on the short yardage issues, Michelle's not good at it. This guy is just a disaster. I don't get the Cordarrelle Patterson. The low percentage throws, you know, that on top of it then. So that's why one of my favorite plays of the whole game was the Edelman touchdown. Now, I don't think it was red zone, but that was another one that felt to me like old school Patriots. In other words, it felt so damn easy. It was 2nd and 10, and I don't think you're in the red zone, but you're close. And it was an easy throw to Edelman, who's underneath. The defense doesn't come up quickly enough. And the next thing you know, which should have been a little 7-yard little something, is a touchdown. And that felt like a routine sort of touchdown the Patriots always used to get. So the Gronkowski play wasn't there. Gronkowski was covered.
Right.
That was just a brilliant individual play by Brady and Gronkowski.
21 yards on Edelman.
The Edelman touchdown was like, boy, that was easy. How come no one else has him that easy? And so, like, how everyone's horny for Sony Michel and just the Sony Michel nonsense. To me, the far more important plays, far more telling to me, are the Gronkowski stuff, if he's back physically, that Edelman touchdown, and again, some of the crossers that Brady hit over the course of this game where he stood in there, his footwork was solid, he was strong in the pocket, and he had that, you know, low liner throw over the middle. They completed several of those. The 3rd and 10 to Gordon, to me, Murray, even if that throw was a little bit off, hugely important play to me. Because I think Brady was originally looking at Gronkowski and Edelman, sort of saw the field and didn't lock in on one guy, and the reads and the progression took him to Gordon. He didn't just automatically chuck it up to Gordon.
And Gordon came back for the ball.
And he came back for the ball. It was an actual route. It wasn't just, you know, wee, sling it down the field. Like, those plays to me, those are the significant ones to me, the significant plays to me.
I mean, I thought Gordon was good in this game. Again, every time they went to him, he answered. He caught all five of them. And nothing, you know, nothing stupid. None just run down the field and chuck it up there. It was all based on, you know, again, out on the sidelines there or slants in the middle of the field. Like, that's where they need him to win.
So, you know, the running game things being portrayed as, you know, the key to the Patriots offense, which it might be. I mean, they're better when Michelle's out there. They're better when they're running the ball. Every team is. But if that's the deal, then I don't like it. I don't like you. I don't like your team. If you have to run the ball to be successful, then you kind of suck. I mean, traditionally, that's the way it is in the league. If you have to run the ball to be successful, you don't have a good passing game or good enough. To me, the running game just has to be a complement to your passing game. If your running game is setting up your passing game, it's not, your passing game's not good enough. So I don't want that to be the case. And you know what? I still don't think it is. I still think the running game's a complement, not the other way around. Michelle's day, of course, overrated. You know, you take away 3 or 4 big runs. I mean, James White still had more yards per carry than Sony Michel. James White had 8 yards per carry. Michel had 6. So White's totally a function of the passing game opening up the running game. Totally. Michel less so. But I still think it has to be that way. If your running game's setting up the passing game, your passing game's not good enough.
See, I feel like their passing game started to take a couple of steps. One was getting Gronk back, and the other one was Gordon. Like, if those things can continue to go forward now, because you got 3 big ones coming up, right? It's Minnesota, Miami, Pittsburgh, the last 2 on the road. So, you know, to me, this is it. We're going to get our answer in the next 3 weeks.
Okay, it's a reentry Monday. Those are our lead Patriots thoughts. We'll get your thoughts on that, your thoughts on the Celtics, which, again, I think remains the lead story in Boston sports. The Celtics could dip a game below 500 a quarter into the season tonight in New Orleans. How did we get to this spot? How did that happen? Who do you blame? And the Bruins, with a great week, they're in Toronto tonight as well. So all those things are on the board, and I have a giveaway for you next, something for free. So don't leave your radio.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady with two receivers to the right, three left. He takes the snap. A pump to the right. And a throw underneath for Edelman. 15-10. Julian to the five. Edelman down to the goal line. Touchdown, Patriots.
Great personnel call, Josh McDaniels. And it's exactly why they flex Edelman out to the left. They get the Jets in regular personnel, but it's a nickel gun look. They're empty. And nobody is on Julian Edelman to the right side. He runs a little button hook from the right slot. Brady sticks it on him. And Edelman's surprised. Nobody's on him. Boom, turns and cuts it up inside. That's a nice block downfield by Gronkowski to help get his guy in right there. Walls him off. 21-yard touchdown to take the lead.
You'd love to be perfect out there. You know, the other teams are well coached and they got some a lot of good players too. So, you know, when you win, you feel really good. And it's obviously a couple weeks ago, you know, we did everything the opposite of what we needed to do. And I think we're doing a better job taking care of the ball. It gives us a much better chance to win games. Scoring more points, converting on third down, scoring in the red area. All those things are really important that we talked about. So we made some plays. There's certainly ones we left out there, but, you know, we'll take it and keep moving forward.
All right, back to your phones. As promised, free wrestling tickets coming up for you here in a few seconds. So stay tuned for that if you want to go see a wrestling show for free. Jeremy in Maine, though, what do you got for us on the Pats?
I think you guys are not giving Josh Gordon a good enough credit for what he's been doing. Let me give you a list of a bunch of asshats that have come through this Patriot organization. Rashe Caldwell, Reggie Wayne, Joey Galloway, Chad Ochocinco, Eric Decker, Brandon Lloyd. Everyone thought these guys were going to be awesome. They thought they were smart, good receivers. They all flamed out because they couldn't get the offense. But Josh Gordon's still on the field. Belichick still trusts him. Brady's still throwing to him. He's making catches. So I think we're not giving him enough credit.
Boy, I think your bar is a little low. But we've said good things about Josh Gordon today. And he's certainly, I thought he was going to be another Chad Ochocinco. So he's given you more than that. He's given you more than Chad Ochocinco.
I mean, let's remember, this was the Jets, okay?
But let's also remember, your offense has fallen well off of what we're used to. And Josh Gordon has been right in the middle of it. So he hasn't made you a better team.
No, and the reason why they keep trusting them is they don't have a choice. Like, let's not be ridiculous about it. What are they going to do? They can't trade for anybody. They already missed the deadline.
You're going to throw to Cordell Patterson? I keep asking him to throw to Dorsett. They threw it to him once. The poor kid got his head knocked off. Was it two?
Yeah, I thought it was two targets.
He had one little catch there for like a yard.
Yeah.
And got throttled. So, like, your offense has fallen off from what it's been. And Gordon's have been a key piece to it. So, like, celebrate him if you want, but I feel like you've lowered the bar.
Yeah, 2 for 2 to Gordon. 2 for 2 to Dorsett.
But Gordon was good yesterday. Like, I much prefer the possession stuff. I much prefer 5 catches on 5 targets versus 5 catches on 13 targets or whatever it's been.
I mean, I think of it this way, too, because they actually completed a couple balls to Hogan yesterday, right? So you add up Hogan, Dorsett, and Gordon, 9 for 9.
Spread it much better.
9 for 9. Like, you know, so this is why I thought yesterday was a step in the right direction for the offense.
Steven Taunton, give me a Celtics thought. Steve, go ahead.
Good afternoon, boys. Hey, I'll tell you two problems with the Celtics, and it's not Rozier and Brown. Kyrie and Brad Stevens. Kyrie came here to be the main alpha dog for the Celtics. He needs to start acting like it, okay? Second, Brad Stevens, too many lame plays. He needs quality shots, okay? Now, whether he has to feature Irving as the feature guy like he did with Isaiah, I don't know. And everybody else fall in line, he needs to do something about his offensive play call.
So let me just hit on these two things. The first thing, Irving, I agree with. There's some leadership, toughness, identity component that's missing to this team, and that falls on your best players in that league, and so that falls on Irving somehow. Agreed. On Stevens and the shot selection, how much do we blame him for the poor shot selection, and is it even that poor? Because I think they shoot the shots that they want to shoot. They want to shoot all those threes. I think they want to.
So I think I don't blame him a lot for that because to me, he's the same guy. It's the buy-in factor that's not there. And they are missing shots. I mean, there's a lot of shots that they get that they want that they're just missing. So that's an element to this thing, too. But to me, it's about the buy-in. They're not buying in. And Kyrie Stevens is a good dynamic to point to because you're talking about the coach and the star player. If the star player is not completely bought into the coach and the operation, then you have an issue.
We've got Shane and Raynham. Hi, Shane.
You guys just hit on what I was going to ask you, but I wanted to comment on Kyrie. I think he saw LeBron running the Cavs, and he came over here wanted to do the same thing, but I think he's lost trying to do it.
Maz hit on it last week or the week before. I think Kyrie was turned off to the way LeBron led and said, I'm never going to be that guy, but you kind of need that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Irving doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to be LeBron. But if he's not doing it, someone has to do it. And Al Horford is too sort of
meek.
You say meek. Maz would say dignified. Sort of a gentle soul, it feels like to me.
Gentlemanly. Yeah. I mean, he's just kind of your classic lead by example guy.
And he's just a soft-spoken, classy guy.
He needs the fire of his sister.
Okay, the balls of his sister.
Yeah.
Which then Cordell Patterson would rip out of her body. But the... it's got to be Kyrie, and he doesn't.
No, he wants the good parts of being a star. He doesn't want the bad parts.
I think he just wants to flap his gums, is what I feel Kyrie wants to do. I feel Kyrie just wants to get up there and babble about whatever. Like, I just feel that's his big interest.
You know, there was a comment that I actually had Jimmy pull last week, and I'm like, I'm putting him on the spot here. So I don't know that we'll have it here in the next minute. But it was Kyrie freaking flapping his gums and babbling about nothing. And at one point, someone said to him, you know, he said, I'm going to continue to do and, you know, and make my analysis and be subjective and objective. And I went, what? like subjective and objective. I'm covering all the bases. I'm going to be devoid of passion, and I am going to be completely opinionated. Like, what? What the hell does that mean?
And Thanksgiving, go F yourself. Effing Thanksgiving.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? You can't be subjective and objective. You can't. It doesn't exist.
Reporters just trying to be nice. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Kyrie.
Go F yourself.
What's your favorite side? F Thanksgiving. All right.
Seriously, though, I never really picked up on this until this comment. I have to say, he talks just to talk.
Oh, my God, it's unreal.
And he tries to use lots of big words and analytical words.
And he gets them wrong.
To sound like he's smart. It's like reading Gasper.
It's like John Farrell.
Yeah, it's a little like John Farrell. Yeah, it's a little like John Farrell. That's good, Jimmy. But, you know, because I'm going to be subjective and objective.
I lead up to you guys. And honestly, our team, I'm probably going to be the most patient in our locker room in terms of how we figure this thing out and, you know, ups and downs and stuff like that. I just try to be as critical and analyze the game as objective and subjective as possible and then move on. So that's it.
What? Like, what? As objective and subjective as possible? Huh? What, like, what are you talking about?
So, but...
He just babbled.
As objective and subjective as possible, and then move on.
So. Yeah, you covered it. That's it. Both sides of it. But so again, he says, I'm going to be the most patient guy. And after that Portland thing, he said, we need a 14, 15-year veteran to come in here and tell us that it's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm paraphrasing, but you know, that you can't.
Even keel, yeah.
Yeah. And so, boy, he really doesn't want anyone yelling at him.
No. No. And more importantly, he doesn't want to be the guy to tell Marcus, shut up. Shut up. Okay, again, you've been in the league 5 years, Marcus. You just cut your first contract. You haven't won jack. Shut up. Okay? My team, I lead. I'll tell you when to, you know, I'll tell you when to speak up. So he's like, he doesn't know what he wants to be. I think this is part. So, again, he learned by watching LeBron. So he wants the power. On some level, he wants the power that LeBron had in Cleveland. But he doesn't want to use it the same way LeBron did. You know what I mean?
Because he wants to be like universally liked, I feel like. And like LeBron has no problem being the a-hole.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to be.
No, I think that's at the core of it, Murray. I think he wants to be liked on top of it because he hated LeBron.
Right.
Right? And so he doesn't want to be LeBron, but they need LeBron's presence now.
So I have to be perspective. I've got the perspective to be reflective and introspective about this team right now and subjective and objective. Uh-huh. Oh my God, I hadn't heard that until right now.
That's as objective and subjective as possible, and then move on. So, that's it.
Objective and subjective as possible,
and then move on. This guy's a piece of work, I'm telling you.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.